Hey, welcome to Calvary Online. My name is Jorn. I'm one of the gathering pastors here at Calvary. And as a movement, every fourth weekend, we're committed to the vision of being a church without walls. See, we don't always gather together for corporate worship, but we spend time on the fourth Sunday of the month loving and connecting with our neighbors by praying for them and being the hands and feet of Jesus and actually inviting them into our lives. So if you're new or you haven't been around here lately, we're in the midst of an ongoing series called Breathe Deeply, Finding Breath in an Out-of-Breath World. Now, Conversations with Jesus is a part of this series where we discuss the theme and the context specific to the thoughts that Jesus has on how this empowers our mission of being a church without walls. Over the last 3 weeks, we've learned to breathe in the story of God, being filled with His glory and His presence. We've learned to breathe out worship and how it's best experienced in the intersections of life, even when it's difficult. And last week, we learned to need to breathe God in, breathe in the Holy Spirit for the life and power that He has for us. So this weekend, I'd like to push out the theme of the Holy Spirit a bit further and focus on the theme, need to breathe. Need to breathe. When I was a boy, each summer my parents would purchase a membership to the pool in our community. Every day I'd spend hours swimming. And eventually one of my goals was to swim the length of the pool underwater. At first I couldn't make it. I'd get about 3/4 of the way and pop up gasping for air, and then someone showed me that what I really needed to do was breathe deeply by hyperventilating until my lungs had expanded enough to carry the oxygen I needed to make it to the other end. Eventually, I was able to swim back and forth on one breath, but it took a lot of effort, and by the time I finished, my lungs were on fire. I couldn't wait to breathe again. And one thought I remember having was, what a sick joke it would be if someone was waiting for me to finish and push my head down right at the moment I needed to take that breath. I'm amazed where our mind goes sometimes when we're under duress. I'm amazed at how sometimes, you know, in the midst of the things going on in our lives, we just go into what I call survival mode, and we can think the craziest thoughts. But one of the questions we're asking ourselves is, are we out of breath? Have you gone as far as you can go? Like a pair of lungs on fire, gasping for the next breath, is your soul suffocating with no capacity but to live in survival mode? Like trying to swim to the other side, just getting through the day has enough challenges of its own. And then on top of that, Jesus asks you to believe that He can expand your capacity, not only to believe in Him, but to actually serve Him wholeheartedly, that you could actually make it through a month in missing one Sunday service, that you could actually love and invest in your neighborhood and live above the day-to-day grind and the pressures of this world. I think Jesus has a lot to say about this topic and how He has actually empowered each of us for maximum capacity if we'll trust in the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. I'm going to pray for you, and as I pray, I'm going to ask you to just do a couple things. First, just take a couple deep breaths. And as I pray and you take those breaths, just simply say to yourself, Holy Spirit, I need you. Holy Spirit, I need you. Let me pray. Father, so grateful for the plans and the purposes that you have for us individually and corporately and as the church, universal. As we dig into the things that Jesus is going to show us, as we consider whether we are really breathing in God, will you just remind us that you have given us the Holy Spirit? Help us each to have our hearts open to the hope of knowing that whatever Jesus is requiring of us today, that there's real power, that He's not left us to ourselves. There's the ability for you to breathe into us more than we ever thought we needed so that we could breathe out God. Let our hearts be sensitive to what you want to say in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to look at an extended conversation Jesus had with his disciples in the Gospel of John, and it's in chapters 14 through 17. This was Jesus' final discourse before the cross, and much of his focus was on the role of the Holy Spirit in the life of his disciples and continuing his work at building the kingdom of God. Simply, Jesus had a plan for the church, and he knew that we would need help. So there's an ebb and flow in Jesus addressing the disciples. First and foremost is the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and confronting that which keeps us from trusting God and actually being effective. The places internally where our souls are actually suffocating, where we're out of breath. I mean, we could probably call this internal power. Twice in John 14, Jesus says this, "Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." He also deals with our insecurities and the lack of confidence that we have in our own identities. He says this in John 14, 18, "I will not leave you as orphans." He says in John 14, 4, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you." John 15, 14, "You are my friends if you do what I command." And in John 16, he says, "All this I have told you so that you will not go astray." Secondly is what we call the power to do, or the external power. And as we've heard from last week's message, it's the ability to let God stretch us, to actually be able to obey him when he speaks to us and fulfill the calling on our life. So Jesus says this in these chapters. He says, "I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing." He says, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching." He says, "Ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you." And he says, "And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning." Jesus then encouraged us to do whatever it takes to make him known. In John 16, he says, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." Basically, he's saying you can do it. And John 17, his last word is this, "I've made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them." In the midst of these verses is what I call a linchpin. I believe it gives us the capabilities to fulfill Jesus' mandate in our lives. It's the recognition of our complete need for the Holy Spirit. So let's look at what Jesus says in John 16, 7 through 16. He says this, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you, and when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will not see me any longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged." Jesus says, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine, and he will declare it to you." The commentarian Matthew Henry says this about the Holy Spirit. He says, "The coming of the Spirit would be an unspeakable advantage to his disciples." Why? Well, because what Jesus is saying is that when we completely rely on him, there's actually a transference of wisdom and power, love and discernment. And that's only a few things that happens when the Holy Spirit engages us. Literally, when we run out of breath, the Holy Spirit will provide us with the grace not only to be sustained, but to live out his plans and purposes and the mission of the church. A church without walls. But there's an issue / problem, or in nicer terms, a challenge. I'm not sure most Christians, if they're honest, view the Holy Spirit as a person. Jesus says when he comes, he convicts, he guides, he leads. And even when we do believe that the Holy Spirit is a person, sometimes I feel like he's the third string. You know, he only gets into the game in the last few minutes, and by then, usually the game is out of hand. In the message last week, Dan mentioned on the day of Pentecost how people thought the disciples were drunk after their encounter with the Holy Spirit. How we are resistant to him because of looking like we're actually out of control. But here's what I think. Until we believe and respond to the Holy Spirit like he is God and he needs to be in control, we'll actually miss what Jesus is trying to teach us in these chapters, let alone the very life that he's called us to live. Very recently, I was having a discussion with someone who was asking me about the work of the Holy Spirit. I said, we don't get to tell the Holy Spirit when he can and cannot do something. See, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman in the sense he doesn't go where he isn't invited. And we're afraid of something being out of control, he patiently waits until we're out of breath. See, I think that when you're afraid and I'm afraid of the Holy Spirit, actually, we're just afraid of God. See, we need the Holy Spirit without conditions. We need some actual good ghost stories where he, the person of the Holy Spirit, shows up because we actually need help, like Jesus says in the verses we've just read. So where do we need help? Well, how about sin, righteousness, and judgment, like he suggests? See, as we hear what Jesus is saying about these three areas, I want to clarify this final admonition. The discussion Jesus was having with his disciples and you and I is why we need the Holy Spirit to overcome every obstacle in the way that might potentially be stopping our mission, and that is to honor and glorify God. There's an assumption that we have everything we need in Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit to operate above the powers of this world for the sake of the commandment to love God, love our neighbors, and influence the world for Christ. Jesus is saying in the verses that we've read, hey, listen, I have a plan. I have a purpose. I have something for you. You don't have to think that this is going to be done on your own. There's a helper. There's a guide. So do you believe that the Holy Spirit will guide and lead you into all truth and that you have nothing to be afraid of? Do you believe you can ask in Jesus' name and the Spirit will help you to love unconditionally, unite together, and bring glory to God? Do you believe that you can and will do the same things, greater, even greater things than what Jesus did? Because that's what it says in these chapters. If you don't, then I believe that eventually you're going to run out of breath. It's good to remember when Jesus talks about the conviction of the Holy Spirit. It's because he has something better for us and the world. See, conviction always provides a solution. John would overemphasize this because he was the one who said earlier in the gospel, Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world, but to actually save it. Our role is to provide conviction through the Holy Spirit, a sense of hope, more than a life support for a dying soul, but a breath of fresh air, an actual solution because what we believe about who Jesus is. So it's our responsibility to live in such a way that the world comes under conviction about Jesus. First, verse 9 says this, concerning sin, because they do not believe me. Sin has multiple meanings when you look in the Bible, from moral failure and even wickedness. But here the primary emphasis means to miss the mark. Sin means to miss the mark. So let me ask you a question. So what's God aiming for in you? Where is he wanting to provide a life-changing experience for those around you because you understand that there is a journey that he wants you to go on? Let me share my first ghost story. It came 2 weeks after becoming a Christian. During that time, I hadn't talked to anyone about Jesus yet. I was still nervous and kind of afraid. No one knew I had given my life to God. But I was invited to a meeting. There was a special speaker who was sharing, and so I decided to go. And during the meeting, the speaker invited people to come forward for prayer and to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I didn't even know what that meant. Yet I felt compelled to actually respond, and so I went forward. And as they prayed for me, I sensed God in a way I had never sensed him before. During that time, I received what's called my personal prayer language. We call it tongues. The next day, I began to tell everyone about Jesus. I started to pray for people who needed healing in their bodies. There were specific times where God would show me specific struggles people were having or what Jesus was actually calling them to do and be. I would sometimes be with people and the Spirit would show me if they were lying or actually being misled. And best of all, in those initial days, many people gave their life to Jesus. And as I read the Bible, I saw this happening in the Scriptures, and I simply believed that this was the norm. So I began to share with others my experience, my ghost story. And I realized, like, not everyone was enthused by my zeal. I could feel people shrinking back when I shared that this was in the Bible. Others would say, I don't have a desire for Jesus to do that in my life. And others were simply afraid. Over the years, I realized everybody wants Jesus, and everyone wants to do something good for him, but not everyone understands the limitations we actually have in helping people believe. We need God. We need the Holy Spirit. So why am I sharing this specific experience? Well, as I shared it, did it make you feel uncomfortable? Did you want to somehow disqualify me or even my experience? Would you at least consider this? Imagine like my story of trying to swim from the length of the pool underwater, and your goal is just to get to the other end, but God's goal is for you to actually be able to swim back. But you're going to need more oxygen, more breath. See, Jesus wants to use you. How is the Holy Spirit going to lead you? Maybe the Holy Spirit needs to do something that seems a little out of control, maybe a lot out of control. Maybe like Dan said last week, he wants us to be witnesses of all that Jesus said we should be. Let's not miss the mark. I wish that was the end of my ghost story, but there's a lot more. I realized that there was a ton wrong in my life at the same time. I had character issues, fits of anger and selfishness. Some of my motives were rooted in injustice I'd experienced before Jesus, and so I acted out. I can go on and on about the things that God still needed to do in my heart. As much as I helped people, I was still a stumbling block at times, and I needed the Spirit actually to help me. Here's what Jesus says in verse 10. He says, concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Righteousness means to be right with God. But I want you to know something. Being right, I need to see my attitude. I need to realize that sometimes there's things that God wants to do that aren't lining up with my actions. I think part of what Jesus was saying is, I'm leaving you behind as proof. Jesus had fulfilled this mandate and he was heading to heaven, and now I'm going to need to let him actually live through me. Here's the question that we need to ask ourselves. Can the world see Jesus through you? Listen, do miracles. Be a miracle, but it will mean nothing if we don't actually live out what Jesus asks. There must be right actions to convict the world that they need Jesus. See, there's plenty of self-righteousness in the church. Dan hits on it all the time. Politics, race, mass, disunity, worldliness, consumerism, you name it, the gambit, it's large. What Jesus is looking for is a standard that draws the lost to himself, a deep conviction that we don't live by the tenets of this world, that we are willing to actually give up our rights to be right before God so people can actually see Jesus. I honestly think we're exasperated and we've run out of breath because we're fighting for something Jesus doesn't even consider important. See, being right, it's not a fruit of the Spirit. But being righteous results in the Spirit working in our life. The Spirit convicts the world because we don't operate like the world. I do believe there is a trickle-down effect that we see here. Don't miss the mark. Be who you need to be. and let God be the judge. It says this in verse 11 concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Judgment means to be condemned. But see, the power of conviction is to define who is guilty and who is actually condemned. As I mentioned earlier, Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world, but to save it through him. Now, if this is really true, which I believe it is, then let's make sure we give everyone a fighting chance to actually know Jesus. I know it's hard when we see how much the world is in disarray, and living in a sin-saturated society, yet it's still up to us to pray and to respond as though judgment is God's strange way. Right now, the prognosticators are hot and heavy on predicting the end of the world. Wars, rumors of war, pandemics, Russia invading the Ukraine. It's all part of God's oncoming judgment. Maybe, but I doubt it. And whether it is or it isn't, when we respond from a place of forgiveness and hope, we prove the enemy of men actually has no power. See, judgment is for Satan. Mercy is for the world. Scripture teaches us that mercy triumphs over judgment. May I suggest something? Learn to see the guilty set free. When you think about your neighbors, when you think about people who have done things that cause confusion in your life, even when you see gross sin, like, learn to see what God sees, because the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of God, is for us to provide mercy for those who actually are guilty in the eyes of the world. See, if people are going to be set free, it's because we breathe in forgiveness. We breathe in hope. We breathe in the power of the Holy Spirit. So let me finish with this last thought. Here's what Jesus said and why we need the Holy Spirit. He says, "The Holy Spirit will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, and for he will take what is mine and declare it to you." Do you have an expectation of what is to come? That's the question. Here's what Jesus said. "I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will actually do greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. And I will do what you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will actually do it." So again, here's the question. Where do you need to breathe? See, Jesus has given you the Holy Spirit to bring glory to him. Let's swim to the other side with breath to spare. And so I'm going to do something. I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to actually ask Jesus to baptize you and fill you with the Holy Spirit. So wherever you are listening right now, just take one hand and put it on your chest, and take the other hand and actually just kind of lay it gently on your head. And as I pray, I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to fill you. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to baptize you in the name of Jesus. And for you who maybe you have the Holy Spirit, or you've had the Holy Spirit, or you've experienced the Holy Spirit, and he's kind of like leaked out and you feel empty, I'm actually going to pray that Jesus is going to fill you again just like he did in the past. So let's just take a moment. You just do what I've asked you to do, and let's just believe that somehow God is going to meet you right there in that moment and fill you with the Holy Spirit, baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with power, so that you can actually fulfill the mandate that Jesus has talked about. Let me pray. Jesus, you know where every person is who's listening right now, no matter if they're right here where we're at in State College or somewhere around the world, and you know the purposes and plans that you have for their life, and you know that they actually need real power to live out this Christian walk and to be a witness and to provide an opportunity for everybody who comes in contact with them to know this living God. And so, Jesus, I ask that you baptize everyone in the Holy Spirit and with fire. Fill them to overflowing with your presence, your spirit, and all that you have for them. I ask that if there's any fear in their life, if they're even nervous right now, that you just let a peace just come into their heart, that they can trust you, that they can let go of control, and they can let the Holy Spirit take over. So fill them, baptize them, give them all that they need, give them every supernatural gift, give them the power to love, give them the power to share their faith, and give them the power to declare the glory and wonder of God. And as they do that, Lord, open up doors of opportunity, just like you did for me. Just in that moment when I met the Holy Spirit and suddenly I couldn't help but want to tell everybody about Jesus. Give them opportunities, especially with their neighbors, those they've been praying for, those who've been a part of their hashtag, but they've never had that conversation, or they still have been worried about being rejected, or they've just been afraid. But now, because of your power, because of the Holy Spirit being filling them, will you just give them boldness to be used by you in however you see fit, in Jesus' name. So let me encourage you. If you sense something happen as I prayed, I would love to know about it. If later on God uses you in a fresh way, or finally you connect with one of your neighbors, do me a favor. Would you just email me at jorn@calvarysc.org? I'd love to hear about your ghost story. I'd love to hear about how you went further than you thought you could go, and that you went with the Spirit of God. He breathed into you and you breathed him out, and people began to experience Jesus through you. Have a great week. Be led by the Spirit. Let God use you in a powerful way.